We're going to talk about light this morning and darkness, the emphasis being on light. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. We still very much in our minds, conscious, subconscious, carry this perspective. Light and darkness has been separated. We identify the natural realm that we are in as one of darkness. We identify heaven or the spirit or God's realm as the realm of light. And it's true. The mistake we make is in buying into the lie that there's some separation between the two realms. That comes from the identity, the false identity of being an orphan planet. We can look around and see evidences of the darkness. We look at the Word of God and we see what His realm is like. And somehow we think His realm is at some distance away. So when we believe that we're orphans and we have to get back to God, there's some place to travel to, we create in our soul a striving. And we think we're battling the devil, trying to get back to God, trying to get to His realm, trying to get to the light. But actually, we're battling God by not believing His word and not believing what Jesus Christ did on the cross. When Jesus went to the cross, what did He do? What did He accomplish there? A number of things. But one is, the world was reconciled to God, the Father, through what He did. No more separation, no more distance. We're in the heart of the Father. Now, how this changes our perspective of darkness and light is it's this. Even though this natural realm is filled with darkness, the realm of light is here in us and around us at the same time. It's not a matter of going somewhere or striving to get somewhere. It's a matter of waking up to what we have and what's true. I'd like to picture it as like being in a room and turning a light switch on. So if there's any kind of striving going on, the striving is just learning how to flick the switch. Heaven is here. The Father is here. The power of the Spirit is here. The choice we have in life is our awareness going to be dominated by darkness or by light? That's the choice we have. Now, what is the realm of darkness? It's the realm that's founded in fear. And anything that's fear-based produces lies, distortions, misunderstanding. The realm of light is founded in love. And in that atmosphere, truth is produced, and truth grows and flourishes. Let me just read you a few scriptures. Don't turn here. You can read these later. Ephesians 5:8, it says, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." It's not saying get to the light, work hard, you may find the light. It's saying now what? You are. That's your identity. That's how God identifies us. So the light is here. 1 John 1:5 says, "God is light, in Him is no darkness at all." 1 Peter 2:9, "He called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." In Colossians it says, "He delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son." Okay, it's talking about this is what Jesus Christ did for us. This is the price He paid. You are light. You are in the light. You've been transferred out of the darkness into the kingdom of God, which is light. And one more here. It says Ephesians 5:14. "Anything that becomes visible is light. Awake, O sleeper. Arise from the dead and Christ will shine on you." So the process we're in is allowing the Spirit of God to wake us up. Turn that light switch on. Become aware of where you really are by the blood of Christ. The enemy wants us in some religious struggle, you know, striving to get to heaven, to get to that realm. And you know what comes with that struggle. All of a sudden, we're jumping through hoops. We've got to earn God's favor. We're under condemnation and lies and guilt. It's a whole package deal that if we buy into that, all we're in is some religious struggle that leads to futility. We all know what that's like. The process of the Holy Spirit is not the struggle with the devil or even the struggle with ourselves that we've had. It's coming to God and allowing our awareness to change. He wants to show us his realm. We've got to admit to the fact that we're blind without revelation. Our minds don't appreciate it. Our minds don't comprehend it. So it's the humility of coming before him and saying, unless you open my eyes, I won't see. But it's also that faith that says, this earthly journey was never meant to be made without spiritual heavenly awareness. Let's dismiss that whole lie of someday we'll be in heaven, but today we can just stumble along blindly as long as we just kind of hold on to the Lord. Yes, you hold on to the Lord, but he wants to give you spiritual sight now. He wants you to see in the heavenly realm as you make the earthly journey. That's what Jesus did. He dwelt in the earth, but what does the scripture say about him? He was also dwelling in the heavens at the same time. That realm is going to be open to us more and more. This is the realm of light. Now, one more thing on that. Out of the light and the realm of darkness, and you know, the religious spirit can flourish in darkness very well. But we've had this fear, and it's under the law, too, of contamination. When we're in darkness, we fear what's going to contaminate us. Why? Because darkness is a realm of fear. So like in the Old Testament, an example would be if someone was a leper. What did you do with a leper? You didn't bring them home for dinner. You didn't give them big hugs. Right? They were secluded. The reason for that is leprosy was a very contagious disease. The fear was being contaminated by it. Here comes Jesus. And what did Jesus say about himself? I am the light. He's dwelling in that heavenly realm. How does he relate to the lepers? He doesn't back away from them. He walks right up to them and brings healing to them. The realm of light consumes the darkness. It's a whole different approach. It's like in darkness, there's all this fear of the world, fear of contamination, fear of this and that. We've got to get away from things. When we're in the light, we're looking at the world and saying, I've got to bring the presence of God into this world, into every situation. So instead of being fear-based, it's propelled by the love of God. And there's a boldness because there's an awareness that light conquers darkness. Go into a dark room. In the darkness, a lot of times you feel a little bit of fear if you don't know what's there. I mean, not in your own house, obviously. Hopefully not in your own house. But if you're someplace and all of a sudden the lights go out, fear can be there. And then once fear starts to grow, what happens? You can start imagining things. What can be there? What can be there that can harm me? Oh my goodness, it can be very complex. All the fears and lies and tormenting thoughts. All it takes is the switch, the light going on, and you see exactly what's there. Fear gone, lies gone. And that's what the Lord is helping us and will help us to do. Activating that light in the dark room. Once the light is visible, the darkness disappears. In 2 Kings chapter 6, you do not need to turn there. You know the story, you can read it later. The Syrians were oppressing the Israelites. And basically, there's more background to this, but the Syrian king sends an army out to capture Elisha. And they come up to where Elisha's dwelling, and the attendant looks out, and he sees this army, and he's afraid. He goes and tells Elisha. And Elisha takes the attendant, he lays hands on him, and just says, open your eyes. He opens his eyes, and the attendant is able to see that the power of God is just, the realm of heaven is just open. This is really a prophetic picture. And I know I've brought it out different times, but I just really want you to listen to this, because this captures where we are and how we're changing. Life comes to us like the Syrians. We look out and we see problems. Without that prophetic light, we react to the darkness with darkness, meaning fear. We can pray out of fear. We're defensive. And when we're praying from that realm of darkness, you know, we can be quoting the Bible and make very strong prayers and saying all the right words. But if it's coming out of the darkness of fear in reacting to the problems out there, we get a sense that we're being overwhelmed by what we see. When the light goes on, when heaven is revealed, like to this attendant, when Elisha opened his eyes and he could see in the realm of spirit, the presence of God, what God had provided, our human perspective automatically changes. Can't stay the same. What do we need in facing life's problems? These Syrian armies, we all have our own unique ones that come and camp around our life and bother us, annoy us, torment us. We say, well, we need them to be gone. That's true, but first we need our eyes open to see God in His realm. Because as we see and the light goes on, that's the end of fear. The light, opening our eyes and being in that realm of light and vision, is the end of fear dominating our awareness. And it's the end of the lies that fear produces in our life. You read the story, you know what happened after this? Elisha prayed and he was moving in the spirit, and the Syrian army was blinded. And they were led back to Samaria captive. You know, when I read that story, that is almost secondary to what happened to the attendant. To me, the heart of the story is this attendant having his eyes open to see that God was greater, to be able to see God in the spirit, and to watch in an instant time his fear disappear, his apprehension disappear. Isn't that the battle we're facing? That's what Paul said in Ephesians. I pray that the eyes of your heart be enlightened. We're called to see and to move in light. Once that happens for us, darkness is not a problem. Because light always dispels darkness. And if we are being opened up into light, fear cannot dominate our lives. You can analyze your fears. You can go talk to people about them and have all the right ideas. You know, you can read all the right books and you can see, well, this fear really is, there's no truth to it. I shouldn't be bothered by it. How well does that work? You can approach your fears from an intellectual perspective and have all the right information and still be bound. Turn that light switch on. When light's coming through, fear can't grow in that atmosphere. Darkness has to flee. Another thing with this, when the light, and we're experiencing the light of revelation, seen in God's realms, it exposes the motivation of God's heart and what He wants to do, and it also exposes our human motivation. Why is this important? Because once in a while, what we want and our motivation are in conflict with what God wants. An example in this story is when the army of Assyria was blinded, they were led captive to Samaria. The king of Israel comes up and he looks at Elisha going, oh, wow, this is great. What should we do? Should we kill them? And Elisha goes, well, you know, you don't kill them. They're captive. They're helpless. And he prayed. Their eyes were open. He said, feed them. Give them a feast and send them back to their master. And they went back to Syria. And it says those bands, they never again oppressed Israel. But you see, the king of Israel was like, okay, we've got our enemy here. I guess we should kill him. But the heart of the father was one of compassion. No, he wanted to teach him a lesson, and the lesson was learned. Now, feed him, treat him right, send him back home. When light is revealed, it's not just what to do. It's not just a word, God's going to do this. The heart of the father is always revealed in light. And that's why it's so important that we move by revelation. You can read the scriptures and say, I'm doing what the Bible says to do. That's good. But when it's light and revelation to you, You're going to have God's motivation in doing what you're doing. You remember Jonah? And of course, he was given a word to preach a word of judgment to Nineveh. And he ran and the fish swallowed him up, and everybody's heard the story. And at first, when you're reading that book, you say, well, Jonah was probably afraid. And you can understand why. Nineveh was a very populated city. To go to a big city that was practicing evil and to say you're going to be judged, he probably feared for his life. But in the end of the book, you find out what the real motivation was. He's in a conversation with God, and Jonah's not doing too well at this point. He says, you know what? I didn't want to go there and preach the word because you remember Nineveh repented. They repented of their evil. And God forgave them. And that was the reason Jonah didn't want to go. He says, I didn't want to go speak that word because I was afraid this was going to happen. They would hear the word and repent. Of course, God's trying to explain to him, you know, what is your motivation here, Jonah? I mean, you want me to wipe out the city of millions of people just so you can, I don't know what Jonah was exactly going through, but, you know, feel like his word was being vindicated? But you see, Jonah, when he heard the word from the God, there was light. He also tapped into God's motivation. He saw that there was a provision in that word of judgment for repentance. So he looked at that and he said, no way am I going there and speaking that word. And what if they repent? And then I've spoken a word, it didn't come to pass and whatever. But he saw that God's motivation was different than his own. So if we want to be and move in the light, our heart has got to be set for God's heart to come forth in the word that he gives. And there will be times when it conflicts with how we think things should be done. And that's why our heart needs to say, Lord, if there's a conflict, you win. When Elisha prayed for the attendant, he opened his eyes to the light. And this is the impartation we need in this hour. We need the prophetic level opened up. One scripture, 2 Peter 1:19, says, the prophetic word to which you would do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place. A lamp, it's a light. And when we read this, you say, well, I guess what we need to do is find a prophet to lay hands on me and impart that level of vision and revelation. I really believe in impartation, but I think there's something more we need to do here. I don't know what happened after this story about the attendant. You think that awareness of the heavenly realm is something he carried from then on, or was it just something that happened that one time? So often, like with Saul, remember he was prophesying, he had murder in his heart, he got into the school of prophets atmosphere. Saul was prophesying with the prophets. The atmosphere of light changed his whole motivation. The only catch is, didn't last. It wasn't permanent. And I think we can have impartation and be blessed and have moments of just such clarity in the Spirit and revelation, and that's a wonderful thing. But we want something that's permanent. We want to abide in that place of light, to see in the light and stay there. And to me, what this means is following the ways of the prophetic. Now, understand me, not everyone is called to the office of prophet. That's not what we're talking about. But I believe every believer is called to dwell and function in the prophetic realm of light. What do prophets do? I think let's look at what they do. Old Testament, New Testament, it's the same formula. You want to write this down. It was kind of complicated here. This is the way of a prophet. They hear God. And they do it. Right? That's it. That's the nuts and bolts of the prophetic realm. That's like turning that switch on. An ear that listens to what the Spirit is speaking, and a heart that's set to follow through and do what the Spirit wants done. That's as we cultivate that in our lives, we're learning to flip the switch and bring light into our awareness. That's what Jesus did. He did only what he saw the Father doing, right? I only speak what I hear the Father speaking. You see that formula, I hate to use the word formula, but just that simple principle in operation. What realm did he dwell in? He dwelt in the heavenly realm. It brings vision. It brings revelation. Sometimes our obedience is simply believing the word. There's nothing to be done but just hold on to it. Other times, when we hear from God, there's an action we need to take, steps that we need to take. But all of this generates light, brings forth light. Unfortunately, in the church and religious realm, I think too often this is not encouraged. People are encouraged to read their Bibles, to know what the Bible says, to understand and deepen in their doctrine and their understanding of the word. But yet so many people know the Bible and aren't dwelling in light. They're still in darkness. And the way they approach the Bible confirms it. To them, this is a threatening book. God's angry. God's vengeful. I got to do these things or else God's going to punish me. Where did that come from? That's not the God of who is light. That's not the God who is love. That means we can understand what the Bible says and read the words and memorize the scriptures. But unless we are in the light, we don't have a revelation of what it means. So it's this prophetic way, and we need to believe for this in the body, that people know their freedom to hear the voice of God. Now, you can say, that's harder to do that. It's a lot easier to say, I belong to a church, and the person that's leading the group is listening to the Lord. And so I know I'm in the right place. Because when you start having to trust in your hearing the voice of God, first thing that comes up is, what if I'm not hearing right? What if it's just my mind? What if? It's trial and error. How do you think anybody learns any gift in the Spirit? It doesn't come all at once. Well, what if I'm doing something I think the Spirit wants me to do and it's just my own stubbornness? Well, oops. That's what repentance is for. But people use that as an excuse. They don't want to take a risk. They want everything safe. You want to be safe and dead spiritually? Because just belonging to a movement where there's a living word coming is not enough. And we, a lot of us in this room, know that. You've got to be hearing from the shepherd and acting on what the shepherd speaks to your own heart. So yes, you make mistakes. And when we're being stubborn, God has a way to get through to us, through others, through just how he deals with our heart. But know that it is your right in the Spirit, and it's God's intention for you to be personally intimate with his voice. And for your heart to be free, no matter what people think or don't think, to act on what he says. And this is a lot of what blocks our obedience. The fear of man. What if people around me don't approve? Especially in a church setting. Conformity can be so strong. Yes, we want everybody to walk in the word of God. Now here's the box. This box is our church. As long as that word fits in this box, we'll encourage you and support you. But if what the Spirit wants you to do is outside this box, uh-uh. So a lot of times people are just afraid. They're afraid to launch out. What if people aren't with me? Well, sometimes you have to be alone in what you do. You feel alone. Other times you feel a lot of support. Either way, the priority has got to be, Lord, I want to dwell in light. Amen. And in order to do that, I've got to make obedience to your voice, hearing you and doing what you tell me, my top priority. All right. Just a few more verses I'm just going to read in closing. Matthew 5:14 says, "You are the light of the world." Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And he says, "You are the light of the world." But if this world is going to see the presence of God, it's going to come through our lives. And I'm going to close with this in Isaiah 49. "I will make you a light of the nations so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." This is the ministry to the nations, to the world. How is salvation going to reach to the ends of the earth? Not by our beautiful sermons, indoctrination, getting Bibles to everyone. I will make you the light of or to the nations. It's only as we are in that realm of light, revelation, awareness of the heavenly realm, that the Word of God is really going to be effective in the world that we live in. Amen. Let's stand.